Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One of the best you'll find at Breaking Down College Basketball. His website, KenPom.com, is awesome, especially if you're into the statistical side of things. And you can follow him on Twitter, at Ken Pomeroy. Ken Pomeroy joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Ken, appreciate you making time here on a Sunday evening. Before we dig into this final game tomorrow night, I'm curious where you come out on the end of that Auburn-Virginia game last night. Are you of the school of thought a foul's a foul, or are you of the school of thought you can't let the refs decide a game like that at the end?
Yeah, I mean, I think if that's not a foul, then we're starting to play a different sport. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you go back and look at that replay. I mean, first of all, there was, you know, pretty serious contact. You hit a guy on the lower leg, you know, when he's in the air. Like, that's a pretty big deal. And secondly, like, if you look at it, the contact actually occurred before Kyle Guy even released the shot. So it wasn't like he released the shot and came down on Samir Dowdy's leg. It was like there was contact before he released the ball. It clearly affected the shot. I mean, that has to be a foul. It's really unfortunate that it occurred. It's really unfortunate that it ultimately cost Auburn the game. But there's a whole kind of chain of events there that cost Auburn the game. First of all, Jared Harper missing a free throw after making 18 in a row. I mean, that was pretty crazy as well. Obviously, the missed double dribble call. Auburn fans have a bigger gripe there, I think. But the foul, that has to be a foul call, regardless of how much time is left.
I agree with you. I'm surprised as many people as I see, people whose opinion I normally respect, going, oh, you can't make that call right there. The double dribble is an interesting one because in the moment, I wasn't screaming at my TV. The Auburn bench wasn't screaming. Nobody was screaming about that. Yet, when Gene Steratore broke that thing down, it's 100% obvious that it should have been a double dribble. In the moment, as you were watching, were you screaming double dribble, or were you like the rest of us watching the replay going, oh my God, yeah, double dribble?
No. I was in the same boat, and I had the same exact thoughts. You know, I actually went back and watched it today, and you know, part of it was just that obviously Auburn had fouls to give. So, you know, you're kind of focused on that. The other part is that the defender, I believe it was Jared Harper again, who, you know, made us kind of a swipe at Ty Jerome at the same time that he lost control of the ball. So, you know, you just assumed, oh, he just, you know, maybe got the ball knocked out of his hands. But you're right. I do wonder if Gene Steratore had not brought it up, how long it would have taken for somebody to, you know, kind of break down the film and realize that it should have been a call. I think even like a lot of officials watching the game at that point probably didn't notice that call as well.
Ken Pomeroy joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Ken, I'm looking at the rankings on your website, KenPom.com, the ratings for the teams on here. And if Texas Tech, who's fifth in your ratings right now, knocks off Virginia, that means they'll have gone on a run where they will have knocked off the number one team, Virginia, Gonzaga 2, Michigan State 3, and number 6, Michigan. You know your history of your ratings better than anybody, obviously. That's got to be some kind of historical run, is it not?
Yeah, nobody's knocked off 1, 2, and 3 in consecutive games. And, you know, you look at kind of the ratings back when the tournament started and who has, you know, basically exceeded their ratings more than any team. And it's, you know, not surprisingly, it's Texas Tech. And it's a point I always make going into the tournament. But most teams that win the tournament, they're going to have to play better in the tournament than they played during the regular season, you know, just to avoid upsets and you know, kind of rise to the occasion against other teams that play well. That has been the case with Texas Tech, clearly. I mean, they've way exceeded what they did in the regular season, which was very good. I mean, they were ninth coming into the tournament in my system based on the regular season. So, obviously, a great regular season. But they played even better than that. And, obviously, you know, mostly due to their defense. But their offense has been slightly improved as well over the stretch also.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, more specifically, I guess, yeah, what exactly is it in your mind? What's been the biggest difference with this Tech team from being very good in the regular season to being excellent in the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, it's been just incredible. You know, I would focus on the incredible defense. You know, that basically you discount the Northern Kentucky game at the start of the tournament. But since then, you know, playing Buffalo, who was a really solid team, and then Michigan, Gonzaga, Michigan State. In those four games, three of those, they have held their opponent to basically their worst offensive game of the year in terms of points per possession. And the only exception to that was the Gonzaga game, where Gonzaga had its second worst game of the year in terms of points per possession. So it's just been a completely stifling defense for them. And the offense has improved, but you know, really the defense has given the offense a ton of room for error to win these games.
What are your thoughts on Chris Beard as a head coach, and do you think he'll be at Texas Tech next year?
Yeah, the second question, I don't know. There aren't, you know, a ton of high-profile openings right now that I think would be attracted to him. So on that level, he may be safe. But, I mean, I said it a year ago that I thought he was, you know, you can make a case he's the best coach in the country, and I basically started going to the tournament this year as well. And, you know, you just look at what he's done. I mean, in four years of coaching at the D1 level, you know, he coached at Little Rock and led them to their best season in program history in his 1 year there. And then in three seasons at Texas Tech, he, you know, certainly this year has been their best season in program history. Last year was arguably their best season up to that point. So, you know, in 4 years, he's just, you know, just worked miracles at two places. And, you know, obviously a small sample size, but that small sample, I think, speaks volumes. And he's like, I would argue, you know, any program looking for a coach should certainly have Chris Beard at the top of their wish list.
Yeah, no doubt. Ken Pomeroy, KenPom.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. You got Virginia at the top of your rankings. How does this Virginia team compare to other versions of Tony Bennett Virginia teams in recent years?
Yeah, I mean, the main difference is that they're just really good offensively. I think that's what's getting lost in, you know, people talking about this game tomorrow night. You know, it's obviously going to be a low-scoring game, primarily because there's just going to be so few possessions. Both of these teams take their time offensively, and they lock you down defensively. And so there are going to be very few possessions. That said, Virginia has, even in the tournament, has been really solid offensively. They've only had five games this year where they have not scored at least a point per possession, which is a, you know, pretty remarkable run for them. You look at Texas Tech on the flip side, they've only had eight games they've allowed more than a point per possession. So, you know, there's a pretty good battle there between Virginia's offense and Texas Tech's defense, the kind of who will give. But there's no doubt, like, this is Tony Bennett's best offensive team, and, you know, that's why they're here. I mean, it's why they failed in the past. They were, you know, really defensive heavy most years, but this year they're certainly a complete team.
I guess this is the lowest total on a game in 20 years out in Vegas. Do you see this game? I know you mentioned probably not because of a lack of skill offensively with either of these teams, or just because of the pace of play, it's going to be a lower scoring game. But I think they're forecast, the odds makers have it like 117, 118, somewhere there in the total. Do you see it being that low scoring?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, you get, first of all, it feels like the officials are just letting a little bit more go in these games in the tournament, which is allowing for just a little bit more restricted movement offensively. And obviously both Texas Tech and Virginia, you know, won't mind defensively being able to, you know, grab cutters and things like that. So, so I think that kind of limits the scoring. So, you know, I think if you had to like guess, it's going to be another low scoring game. That said, you might have thought the same thing about Virginia-Purdue, and that ended up turning into a shootout, even though that, too, was a low-possession game, but both teams just made shots. You know, you certainly can't rule out Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome getting hot for Virginia, or, you know, likewise for Texas Tech, you know, them making shots. But, yeah, I think if you just want to, you know, not be surprised, prepare yourself for a game where, you know, this may end up in the 50s, because obviously the recent history would suggest that should be the
case. CBS executives are cringing right now hearing you say that. Ken Pomeroy, KenPom.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. How big a disappointment was Duke not making the Final Four, but then also how close they came to not even making the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight?
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd have to qualify them as a pretty serious disappointment. You know, coming in as the tournament favorite, the consensus tournament favorite out there, to really struggle, you know, needing a pretty major break just to get by UCF, you know, to avoid an Aubrey Dawkins tip-in that would have eliminated them. Obviously struggling against Virginia Tech, needed to avoid an Ahmed Hill lay-in to go to overtime, that would have gone to overtime in that game. And then obviously, you know, they couldn't dodge bullets three times in a row against Michigan State. But yeah, I mean, certainly the lack of ability to pull away from any of those teams, I think, was disappointing. They just, you know, the complete lack of depth ended up catching up to them. I mean, obviously Zion was the best player on the court in all those games, and RJ Barrett's the second best player on the court in all those games. And then, you know, things kind of dropped off from there. And, you know, once you got past Cam Reddish and Trey Jones, things really dropped off. And, you know, ultimately that kind of bit them. Like, having star players is important, but you do need a little bit of a supporting cast. And that's what, you know, really made Duke easier to defend, was the fact they really didn't have that supporting cast all season long.
Game tomorrow night is being forecasted as basically a coin flipper. I think Virginia's a one-point favorite out in Vegas. What are your thoughts on tomorrow night's game? Who do you see cutting down the nets?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I do expect a close game. I think, you know, the seeds that were planted in the first two rounds of kind of having Chalk win those games have borne some fruit here from basically the Sweet 16 on, where we've had great games. And obviously, Elite Eight, Final Four were all great games. And this is going to be a tight game as well. I don't see, you know, either team really being able to pull away. You really wouldn't expect that in a low possession game. And obviously, you know, there's no Texas Tech basically playing like a top five team at this point, and Virginia, you know, playing like that all season. You know, it should be a fantastically competitive game. You know, slight edge to Virginia. Again, I think they have, you know, the greater potential to get hot offensively. Not that you're going to see, you know, Carson Edwards-like performance on either of these teams. You know, getting hot is relative, but if you can string, you know, four or five consecutive scoring possessions together at some point in the game, you're going to have a huge advantage. And I do think the way Ty Jerome and Kyle Guy can shoot contested jump shots, you know, even against great defenses, I think that could be the difference. So I would have to pick Virginia in this one.
Hey, before I let you go, Ken, your ratings go back to 2002. Who's the greatest college basketball team in the history of the Ken Pomeroy ratings?
I believe it is 2015 Kentucky.
Okay.
Yeah, if you go back even further to like 1999, I don't have these ratings online, but like 1999 Duke team like crushes everybody, actually. So those are kind of like the two greatest teams. And obviously, you know, Kentucky didn't win at all. So
yeah, neither did Duke in 99. They lost to UConn.
Right. Yeah, neither did Duke either. So, you know, it's kind of the nature of a single elimination basketball. You know, you go back to even 91 UNLV. If I had ratings back then, they probably would be, you know, right up there with those teams, and they didn't win it either. So
absolutely. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, no, it goes to show you the whimsy of this tournament when it's one and done. No doubt about that. Ken Pomeroy, you can get him on Twitter at Ken Pomeroy, kenpom.com. More importantly, his website. Great, great stuff on there. Ken, really appreciate you making time on a Sunday evening, man. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.